Good morning. Great to see everybody today. We're not as loud as we were last week. Wake up. I think half of our congregation today might be gone with the winds. Today is Windish Fest, so I know we have a number of people up the road at St. Paul in Serbin, and we're happy to have everyone gathered here on this wonderful day too in the Lord's house. Today we'll be focusing primarily on a story that Christ told to the Pharisees and all those gathered to hear him. The story of the rich man and poor Lazarus. So we'll pay attention to that, especially in our gospel lesson today, and ponder what it means for our lives during the sermon. Our opening hymn today is going to be number 797, Praise the Almighty. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll read the intro together. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your just decrees are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your mercy come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let your steadfast love comfort me, according to your promise to your servant. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, you are the strength of all who trust in you, and without your aid we can do no good thing. Grant us the help of your grace that we may please you in both will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
This morning's Old Testament reading is from Amos chapter 6. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountains of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Calna and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great. Then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms, or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly songs to the sound of the harp and, like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
This morning's psalm is Psalm 146, and we'll read it responsively by the whole verse. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The epistle reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we are brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in this presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who had passed from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.' This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Invite our children up for a children's message today. Good morning, everybody. It makes me so happy to have all you here today with me. You know, I'm curious. I bet y'all have some plans on what you might want to be when you grow up. Anyone want to share some, what they want to be, what they want to do when they grow up? Like, yep. What do you want to be? A ninja? Okay. That'd be pretty cool. What do you want to be? Huh? An artist, cool. There are lots of things out there that people can be. Do you know what you want to be, Carter? What? A fireman, cool. All kinds of cool stuff that you could be. You know, God gives us each gifts and different ways that we're good at things, and what we're supposed to do with those gifts is use them to help others. And I bet you, though, you're probably not going to get to be a ninja or an artist or a fireman for your very first job, right? You'll probably have to find some other jobs before you get to your final career, and I think you're going to be looking around for signs in windows that look kind of like this. You see that? What's it say? Help wanted. We've seen a lot of signs up that look like this lately. I'm going to read a help wanted sign, what it says underneath. Help wanted. Needed. A person with a degree in education and experience teaching different elementary grade levels. What do you think they're asking for? A teacher, right? They need a teacher there. Here's another help wanted. Help wanted, looking for workers skilled in carpentry to install doors, windows, and cabinets. What do you think that person is? Kind of a house builder, right? Maybe a construction worker? That's pretty cool. You know, it takes a special person to be a teacher or a special person to be a builder like that. Okay, here's another help wanted sign that I found. Looking for someone who can heal every sickness and raise the dead, who will give his life to take away sins, and who will rise from the dead. Yeah? God, our Jesus, right? Jesus who came. You know, he's the only one who could ever fill that job description. Jesus is unique, more unique than anyone who's ever been before, because he was God and man, and he came so that he could take the sins of the world away, so he could die and rise from the dead, and that's a pretty amazing thing. No one can do the job he did, but he did that job for us. He came to be our Savior, and he gives us new life and salvation, and you know what? In whatever way you choose to serve him, whatever help wanted signs in this world that you answer, you're going to be showing the love that he has for all of us to mankind. Would you guys pray with me today? Let's have the whole congregation pray along. Dear Jesus, thank you for taking the job of being our Savior, because no one else could have ever paid for our sins. Help us find ways to help one another, to serve others, and show your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, good to see everybody today. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. You know, it is just a reality that most people think very, very little about their own death. After all, statistically speaking, it's true that many people will live life to a ripe old age. And praise God that most of us probably will, although there are no guarantees. But Many people out there are living in denial that they'll ever die, constantly pushing that reality out of their minds, which means that I suppose they probably go about their life haphazardly with no real accounting for how they live. Our text today from Luke 16 contains images that, as we really ponder them, are earth-shaking, because the images that Jesus shares with us in Luke 16 picture our own mortality. Yes, we are going to die unless Christ returns in our generation, which, of course, will still have the same final result. We are all going to die. So for that very real and undeniable day, Christ prepares us today with the real word of the real heaven and the real hell. And in the meantime, I suppose, until that day comes for us, during our days here on earth, everyone is going to receive blessings from the Lord. Some of them will be material things, and others will be spiritual things. And that was the case for the two men that we heard of in our story that Jesus shared with us, a story often referred to as the rich man and poor Lazarus. Now, Jesus tells this story of the rich man and poor Lazarus because the Pharisees, who Luke tells us were lovers of money, were scoffing at what Jesus had just previously said. He had just told some memorable parables that we've heard over the past few weeks. He told the parable of the lost sheep, you'll remember, and the lost coin. He told the great parable of the prodigal son, and finally, the parable we thought about last week, the dishonest manager. He finished up that last one by saying to the Pharisees and everyone else who could hear that you cannot serve both God and money. And so the Pharisees mocked Jesus. They were a bit like the rich man in the parable, I think, because they loved only themselves. And the parable shows that the love of money and a selfish love of only yourself can lead to hell, where instead trust and love in God leads to heaven. Now, this story that Jesus tells, you know, there's really no way, and I'm not certain to know, if the story he tells is a historical account of two particular people, or if Jesus was telling this story as a parable in order to illustrate the truth. But it really doesn't matter, because the teaching is there either way. The point is, in this story, that two men die, just as we'll all truly die someday. And as he tells the story of these two men's death, he is making for us a stark contrast. The difference between the two men, the rich man and poor Lazarus, is drastic, but I suppose it's a contrast that you could have seen on just about any day in ancient Israel. The rich man walks about wearing a fine purple robe, a costly garment, the best that money can buy. He lives in luxury. He spends money only on himself, it seems, and on what makes him look good to everyone else out there. And then there's that second man, Lazarus. What do we hear about him? He's a beggar. He's the opposite on the socioeconomic scale. Lazarus is not only poor, but he's sick and crippled. He's laid at the gate. And maybe that's actually too kind of a way to describe it. I guess, really, he was probably just dumped off there. Lazarus, you see, was a pitiful sight. He was covered with sores and ulcers. He had no clean clothes, no medicine. And his only hope was that by laying in this place where many people with many riches would pass by, that someone, anyone who cared, would help him just a little bit. And then I guess to make things worse, as he sits there at the gate, he can see the rich man's lifestyle passing right before his eyes. I wonder how much he must have yearned for just a few of those table scraps, trimming of fat off of a steak, a potato peel, maybe even just a dry crust of bread. The rich man, you see, had more money than he could ever spend, but he never considered the situation of poor Lazarus sitting just outside his gate. Well, and the account gets worse from there, too, because the text tells us this detail, that the dogs even would lick the poor man's wounds. Those dogs were scavengers, of course, yet they seemed to be in better shape than Lazarus was. So what did Lazarus ever eat? When did Lazarus ever eat? Well, we don't know. Maybe it was just whatever the scavenger dogs wouldn't eat after the dogs had had their fill. You know, Solomon, once declared in Ecclesiastes that there is a time to be born and there is a time to die. And as it does for everyone, that time came for Lazarus. But sure enough, the rich man also dies. So the rich man is buried, and I bet it was a grand funeral, one that would have been remembered for many years. But you see, in the story, there's no mention of Lazarus' funeral. It was probably unceremonious. He was probably just left in an unmarked pauper's grave, no marking, and immediately forgotten. What do we see comes next in this story? Well, Lazarus is escorted by the angels to Abraham's side. Immediately upon his death, Lazarus is taken up into heaven. And the rich man, well, just as immediately, he goes down into hell. You see, not only is he excluded from the glory of heaven and all the joy that's going to be there, but the parable tells us that he finds himself in extreme agony, torment, being tortured continually. There are two men in this story, two men who both claim to be men of God. One dies and receives the riches and glories of heaven, and the other dies and he's cast into hell to suffer God's wrath, that kind of wrath that is unleashed upon a sinner. Two men, opposites in life, and now these two men find themselves opposites also in death. So I wonder what makes the difference. One seemed like he was blessed by God in life. Surely the rich man thought that all of his prosperity was a sign of how good he was, that God would give him so many things. He had physical and material blessings in abundance. But now he finds himself damned and cursed by God. What was missing in the rich man's life? Well, the answer is this. The rich man had no faith and no trust in God. The rich man was prideful and arrogant. He sought to do always what was best for himself. He felt that he was great amongst God's people, Israel, because he was rich. And he had faith in nothing other than a pride in being a physical descendant of Abraham. No mercy, no love for others, only regard for himself. But when you look at Lazarus, what did he have? He had nothing but trust in God. No other options. In fact, the name Lazarus means God is my help. So look at what transpires, right? Lazarus lifted up to heaven by the angels, and the rich man in hell, what happens next? He lifts up his eyes to see what's going on up there. And what does he see? He sees Abraham with Lazarus at his side, and he cries out for mercy. He's so desperate that he begs now that Lazarus' dirty hands, those hands that were dirty in life but now cleansed in heaven, that he would use those hands, Lazarus, to just dip his finger in water and cool the tongue of this rich man in agony. You see, the man had no mercy for Lazarus in life, but now he is hoping to receive a little bit of mercy from him. But it can't be. Abraham responds that there is this great chasm that's fixed between them and no one can cross it. You know, I think it's important for us to understand what it means that the rich man is in hell. Jesus tells it in this way, for us to understand that in hell there is a very real agony. It says he was tortured and tormented continually. And it says he was tormented in flames. You see, hell is a very real place, a real and terrible place. It's not a figment of our imagination. And it never ends. Jesus described hell in a different place in Mark chapter 9 as a place where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And there he says also in Matthew 18, in hell there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't let anyone deceive you into saying that hell is not real. Jesus spoke of it in his own red letter words. I guess one way to illustrate what hell is like might be that account of the burning bush back in Exodus chapter 3. You see, Moses saw a bush on fire, but it was not consumed by the fire. The fire continued to burn, to never go out. It's a fire that burned and burned and burned. I suppose that might be the best analogy we would have for what the fires of hell must be like, one that continues for all eternity. So what do? Most people just push the notion out of their head. You know, I think it was probably always true, but even more true today, that many, perhaps most people walking around in this world just deny that hell could possibly be real. I suppose many people also choose to deny that God even exists. But you see, the truth is that one day, everyone will believe that hell is real and that God really does exist, if for no other reason that it becomes a personal experience. I suppose you could say there are no atheists in hell. All right, so back to the rich man. Finally, he understands he can't do anything about his situation. And finally, for the first time, perhaps ever, he thinks of someone else. He pleads for his brothers. He says, "Father Abraham, please send Lazarus to warn my brothers about all of this." And Abraham says, "Well, your brothers, they have Moses and the prophets and everything that they wrote. The scriptures, Genesis and Exodus and Isaiah and all the rest are in their possession to hear the word of the Lord." But Lazarus says, "No, Father Abraham, it's not going to be enough." The rich man responds, emphasizing this. He says, "But if someone should rise from the dead, now that will bring them to repent." Moses and the prophets weren't enough, the rich man was sure, because he had lived having Moses and the prophets. He had heard the word of God read and preached, and now he was in hell. God's word, you see, was useless to him, not because the word is useless. God's word was useless to him because he never took it to heart. He called himself a son of Abraham, but he didn't have the love or the faith that Abraham exhibited. Moses and the prophets exhorted the people to love God and to love one another, yet it was a love the rich man never had. He loved only himself. No, not enough, he says. If someone rises from the dead, then finally my brothers will repent. And what's Abraham's answer? Well, it's this: if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, then they're not going to be convinced, even if someone would rise from the dead. See, even a resurrection won't convince you if you don't believe in what God says in his word. The rich man wanted some kind of a sure sign for his brothers. And it might seem like a holy desire. But you know what? Don't we know of another man named Lazarus? It's a different man, of course, but there was a day when Jesus raised a man named Lazarus from the dead. What happened then? Well, some people believed, but some didn't. And some people then plotted to put Jesus to death. You see, even a resurrection won't bring someone to repentance if they reject God's word and Moses and the prophets and all that have been sent to bring it. All right, so what's the point of this big story? What does Jesus want us to understand by telling us about this rich man and about poor Lazarus? He wants us to understand that all of us are mortal. We can push aside the thought, but the truth is one day we will all die. And at that moment, there is a judgment. Heaven and hell are very real places. You can't look forward to heaven not believing that hell is a place at all. But you see, what determines our location, our destination for all eternity, is this: it's faith and trust in God. Or, I suppose, it's the rejection of such faith and trust in God. The rich man had a sinful love of money, and you see, the money wasn't evil, but for him, it became a barrier. His money and his love he had for it crowded out his faith and his trust in God. And faith and trust is what Moses and the prophets declared, after all, wasn't it? Faith means believing that God is a merciful God. It means trusting that, yes, he has had mercy on you. He has seen us in whatever pitiful situation we found ourselves in this world. If not destitute of food and clothing, he sees us sick and diseased by our own sin. Because the reality of sin and its consequences in our own lives are all around us. But you see, our loving Father had power to help us, and so he did. He sent Jesus to die on that cross and to bear our sin there. Jesus, who would die for us, to be buried in the darkness of a tomb, but on the third day he rose. He defeated our enemies that way and obtained for us eternal joy and the promise of heaven for all who believe, for each one of you. Now, how did people respond to Jesus' resurrection? Well, some believed. Some doubted. Some tried to cover it up. But we are those who believe. You see, maybe the other lesson that we get from this story today is this: there aren't any more great signs to see. There aren't going to be any more earth-shaking revelations to come down. No, because Moses and the prophets have come already, and they've proclaimed everything that God would do in Christ. And in the New Testament, we see everything that God has done in Christ. And this is where we place our trust, in Jesus, who's crucified and risen. And regardless of our circumstances in this world, as we trust in the Word of God, of the resurrection of Christ, we will see that Word of God always reveals God's love and mercy for you in Jesus Christ. So Christians, do not fear. Although heaven and hell are very real places, your destination is secure in Christ, for He alone is our Savior. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please rise and join with me as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O God of mercy, You provide us with Your holy word that we might know and believe in Christ. Make us diligent to study Your word and trust in Your promises. Help us to be content with what You provide us in this life and to joyfully look forward towards that life that is to come for us in heaven. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord, we pray that You would remember those You have given the task of the pastoral ministry. Strengthen them each in their own congregations that they might live their lives above reproach as they care for their households as well as for Your church. Preserve them from every evil and snare of the devil, and give them a great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus. Lord, in Your mercy. O Lord, cause Your gospel to go out into every corner of the earth, and to that end, we ask that You would bless all missionaries of Your church, especially John and Jen Wolfe and Julie Oftab. Lord, in Your mercy. Father in heaven, preserve our homes from the sins of laziness. Bless fathers and mothers as they teach their children the faith, that generations to come would faithfully guard their hearts and rejoice in Your gifts. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord, You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we ask that You would watch over the authorities in this and every nation. Deliver them from the idols of wealth and power, and grant that they would use their offices in service to You and those You have entrusted into their care. We ask also, Lord, that You would guard and protect all members of our nation's armed forces, especially praying for Christopher Brand, Caleb Burton, Warren Evans, Jake Haygood, Caleb Pyle, Ryan Spray, Byron Taylor, and Dylan Robbins. Lord, in Your mercy. Almighty God, we pray that Your help would come to any who need it, that they would find their consolation in Your promises until You deliver them out of their troubles. This morning, we especially ask Your help and assistance for Melinda Bennett, Erlen Carlson, Charlene Frankie, R.C. Frankie, Myrtle Freemel, Marion Fritchie, Nellie Gonzalez, Mike Graffelman, Evelyn Hoschke, Dolores Karish, Morgan Ray Karish, Evelyn Casper, Thelma Kieschnick, Audrey Koenig, Teresa Krause, Mary Lehman, Rose Lehman, Barb Liebman, Kevin Margeson, Ruth Medock, Katrina Merchin, Travis Merchin, Diana Mitschke, Lillian Peach, Victoria Pope, Gina Sanders, Lane Schramm, Marie Schultz, Laverne Schultz, Amy Wagner, and Ali Zoke. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord, answer all of our doubts and fears with confidence in Your word and in Your gifts, that by these means of grace we would be kept in holiness and guarded from temptation and despair. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, who is Your Son and our Lord, who we know lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated as today's offering is collected. Please rise. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we have a couple announcements today. Our Youth Sunday School class is continuing. It'll be the third week that that's been going on in the small meeting room off of the educational building. They'll be going through a study that looks at different faiths and faith traditions through the lens of Christianity, comparing and contrasting them to show what a great treasure we have in the Christian faith. This week, also, just so everyone is aware, I'm going to be away from my phone and my email this week to spend some time working on writing that's associated with the degree I'm pursuing. So, if you need to get a hold of me in an urgent manner, if you could contact either Candace or Margie at the church office or one of the elders, they will have an alternate means of communicating with me during this time. Otherwise, I'll be getting back to all my voicemails and everything on Friday and following up with everybody at that time. Today is Windisch Fest, which we encourage everybody to go up to Serbin and enjoy Windisch Fest and rejoice with them up there for all of their many events. We don't have the full announcement in the bulletin this week with the schedule, but last week's bulletin had that in there, and if we need to get that information for you, we can. And also, today during Bible study hour for the adult class, we will be wrapping up our study of Hebrews, which means next week we'll begin a new study in the Lutheran Spirituality Series on God's word. So please join us this week to wrap up Hebrews and next week as we start a brand new study. And then the last thing I want to mention is next Sunday is the first Sunday in October and will be LWML Sunday. We'll observe that here in the congregation, giving thanks for the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And they also will be having their zone rally that afternoon at Holy Cross in Warda. And there they'll have speakers, will be Nikki Keck, the administrator of Faith Lutheran High School, and Barb Hoffman, one of the members of Epiphany out in Bastrop. So a couple things to remind you about is we will have a door offering at the end of the service. That door offering will go to split between our local LWML chapter and the in-gathering that they'll have to support Faith Lutheran High School and Epiphany and their work. So if you've not been a part of the LWML but would like to be, please speak to one of the ladies, and you are more than welcome at the activities tomorrow or next week. Does anyone have any other announcements today? Oh, Marcille has tickets for the Faith Lutheran High School Oktoberfest. And those do have to be bought ahead of time, right, Marcille? That's what it says. Okay, and she's got them. And they're $12 a piece. Looks like it's going to be a really good time. All right, I don't see any other hands. We will close with our final hymn. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, thou art mighty, hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fiery cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.